Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
We need to introduce all you guys to the star. His name is Saquon Barkley. And the films I have, just so you know, the offensive line, this Mekhi Becton playing right guard, he's 350 pounds. He almost killed an L.A. Ram on the second level. I really have the Philadelphia Eagles getting a boot and sticking it up Pittsburgh's ass in this game. Physical on the line, man. Mekhi Becton, Dickerson at left guard. Saquon Barkley's chasing Eric Dickerson's all-time single-season rushing record, man. Oh, A.J. Brown, just stand over there. And as soon as they come into the eight-man fronts and start playing single high coverage, just be patient. We're going to get you the ball. That's what I'm telling to AJ. Just be patient.
Boot in the ass game. That's John Gruden. Mike Tomlin used to work for John Gruden. Typically, these guys Tomlin worked with, very media friendly. In fact, Tony Dungy saying today that Russell Wilson is an MVP candidate and would be a favorite if he had not missed the first six games of the season. Well, Chucky doing the opposite, saying, see this Timberland boot that people used to wear in the early 2000s? That is going to go up the rear end of the Steelers on Sunday, and that does not feel good. That's a small hole for a boot to go into. Yeah, but hey, that's the way Steelers and Eagles have gone in Philadelphia throughout the years.
Hammer, meat, nail.
10 straight the Steelers have lost in Philadelphia. Donnie, our football guy, said the Steelers are going to win this game. I think it's a half-truth, and I will explain to you why I feel that way in a second here. We do have gorgeous Charlie Borges here. John Gruden authored the most erotic moment of Charlie's life, and that was when his Buccaneers won the Super Bowl with Gruden back in the early
2000s. He's giving us not one thumbs up that it was the most erotic moment of his life.
So he is saying, yes, if Gruden says it, I don't care about those horrible emails Gruden sent out. If he says that they're going to beat the Steelers badly on Sunday, what?
I still care about the emails that he sent out, but I mean, I'll take the Super Bowl.
Okay.
That's
you.
A pony specialty to just make you seem like you're just casually
way to leave your scruples and morals at the door in the name of winning, Charlie.
Congratulations, you had a nice
on all your success.
A perfect pivot right there.
And Charlie's in today because the MILF hunter Seth, who usually produces us on Friday, is on his way to Philly for this game. Now, he is not going into enemy territory because he is one of these morons who lives here but roots for the Eagles. So he's actually, he's going to be among his cretins and slobs on Sunday when he's at this game. All right, let me tell you why I think Donnie told the half-truth, Mulsey.
Because they're going to cover?
No, it's actually the opposite of that. I think that there's two ways I see this game going. I either see this game being on an impossible, unlikely, shocking Steelers win, where Russell Wilson makes magical plays and defies the odds without George Pickens, and he's not putting up big numbers, but he's making clutch plays, and then the defense is rising up, and they're taking advantage of the upheaval in Philly. And I was talking to somebody in Philly, and actually one of the great sportscasters in Philly history is going to join us later this hour. But it sounds to me like Philly's offense is just the Steelers' Justin Fields offense on steroids. It's run the ball a ton and never turn the ball over. Play super-duper conservative, and you can play conservative when you have the best running back in the NFL, and you also have a quarterback who's a very dangerous runner, and let's make sure he doesn't wreck the game by throwing interceptions, because apparently that's what was happening early in the year. He was a turnover machine, and they adopted the juiced-up Fields offense there, and they've won 9 straight. But what's happened is the wide receiver who's making all that money and is a star is unhappy with that kind of... We have Army-Navy on Saturday. He doesn't like the fact that he's now playing basically in an option offense. So I am saying that the Steelers either shut that down and win a game against all odds, or they get blown out. I don't have close loss on my bingo card, because that's actually the one thing they never do. Mike Tomlin is great as an underdog. Not great as an underdog covering the spread, just great as an underdog winning games, period, when the deck is stacked against him. I think they have like one of the longest streaks in NFL history of when they are an underdog, just winning the game, period. And not, oh, they were a 6-point underdog and they lost by only 2. Okay, we lost, but at least you get your money. No, they win the games outright when they are in this role. And the history of this rivalry is when the Steelers go to Philadelphia, it's not a, oh, well, 1 or 2 plays and we lost. It's you got absolutely run over and bludgeoned. And I'm actually predicting the bludgeoning to happen. But if it's no bludgeoning, then I think they actually win the game, and Mike's in the locker room on video with his players saying, like, what's the trap thing?
Here's your trap. Take over your trap.
Yeah, doing that.
You think he would have earned it at that point if he had taken over their trap?
Oh, for sure. I mean, Nolan and Cower never won there.
Can you imagine Chuck Noll, if camera phones existed, walk into your trap, take over your trap?
I think he said, give me that. Let me show you how this works. What happens is the lithium battery here.
Chuck Noll would have had a glass of wine next to his players. He'd be like, smell this Cabernet Sauvignon. This is me walking into your house, taking over your house.
Yeah, something tells me Noll would not have said like Tomlin did, I'm going to stay coaching football forever because it's not only my job, it's my hobby. I think Chuck would have rolled his eyes.
I think the happy medium between the two is actually Cower would have been the most insane in the cell phone, like camera phone era, like the good camera phones. Cower after
a
big win.
Turn that phone off. Turn that off. I got to cuss some more.
I think Cower would have been way more, like Tomlin knows, I think, that he goes in there, does it very briefly, and then gets out of there. Like I saw the other angle of the Najee thing. He does a quick hit and run there. Cower'd be in there going nuts.
Since 2020, the Steelers are 37-14 in one score games.
That's easily
only,
the best in the league.
No, it's
isn't
not
it?
Actually. Only the Chiefs are better.
Well, they've gassed that up by this year. Yeah. Coming into this year, there was no way the Chiefs were better. How many other games have been one score? All but 2, I think. They're 10-1.
So if you think it's going to be close, pick the Steelers. I don't think it's going to be close. That's why I have a bad feeling, but that's my point in saying Donnie told the half truth. Mm-hmm. Donnie thinks it's going to be a close game. And if you think it's going to be a close game, then I think you should take the Steelers in this one.
Jalen Hurts threw 4 interceptions in the first 3 games of the season. The Eagles attempted at least 30 passes in all 4 of those games. They have only attempted more than 25 in a game twice since.
So do you agree with this summation that they've turned into the Justin Fields on steroids offense?
The most yards, the numbers would certainly back it up, but so here's the problem.
Run it and don't turn it over.
Here's the problem, though. As mad as A.J. Brown wants to be about it, they're 9-0 doing it. He's thrown 1 interception in that time.
Yeah.
And he's thrown, like, Like something like 12 touchdowns. I mean, it's working.
The Steelers take the ball away and the Eagles don't give it away. So that'll be one of the major themes to this game.
Which
one wins out? Who wins that game of chicken?
I don't think it's going to go the Steelers' way. I think Mike Tomlin, for all his motivational tactics and for how much he cares, he knows that guys like have pride and he, it's not in his DNA to go into a game and say, we're kind of punting on this one. I think he knows there are bigger fish to fry. I do. And so...
What would be a big fish to fry?
Baltimore like to win the... I don't know. Like, how about like a giant marlin?
Like, what is the fish that you would get at like a fish fry during Lent?
Sorry, I got distracted. Somebody has their jacket and their bag out there and they're heading out for the day. I just got distracted.
Oh, okay. I think I know who that is.
What would be a big fish to fry?
Yeah.
That's like a typical fry? I mean, bass? Giant ass bass?
Never had it.
Cod.
Is cod a big fish?
You catch the right fish, yeah.
It's a thick fish.
Thick?
Yeah.
T-H-A-C-C. That fish is thick.
Thick with two C's.
When I made fish tacos, it was a bitch to cut it up. I did, and Amanda said I should cook more often because it was good, and I'm like, nah, I'd rather watch football.
So you did the opposite of when you get asked to fold the laundry, do such a bad job, she never asked you
It was one of those
again.
Things where I wanted to prove that I had it in my bag.
Yeah, but then you didn't want to bring it out of your bag ever again.
Yep. Tomlin, by the way, while you're... ruminating on what you're going to say about this game.
I know what I'm going to say, but you just decided to take a fish detour here, so you can do whatever you'd like here.
Steelers point totals in Philadelphia with Tomlin as the head coach. 6-3-13. They're averaging 11 points a game there, man.
Well, if you watched last night's...
Less than that.
If you watched last night's nightly sports call, you know what my prediction is already. But I know you didn't. That's okay. They're not going to win, and they're not going to keep it.
They're averaging 7 points
inside
game,
the spread. They're not going to keep it under.
So we're
5.5.
We're in lockstep here. We think that it's going to get ugly on Sunday.
I mean, I define ugly because here's my basic thought. It just reeks of like a 21-10 game for me, where the Eagles never feel like they're being threatened. Like it could get to 17-3, It could get to 14-3. And then maybe the Steelers put together a good drive and get it to 14-10, but then the Eagles go right back down the field. Or I could see it being 21-3 and the Steelers tack one on at the end. I just think that they are going against a team that is a mirror image of what they would like to be, but is just better almost across the board. And and you can overcome that in the NFL, especially when you're on your home field, I think. But they have shown no ability to overcome it in Philadelphia. If this game were at Acrisure Stadium, I think it would be much closer. I think the Steelers would have a very real chance to win. I think the line would be a lot smaller, but it's not. It's in their personal, you know, funhouse mirror kind of place of horrors where they just turn into a different and terrible football team no matter how good they are otherwise. I think the problem here is the Eagles are probably going to run the ball enough with Hurts. If I were going to like identify and pinpoint one thing that's going to make a difference.
13 rushing touchdowns.
He's got
there.
More than Barkley.
Wow.
He's got 13. Barkley has 11. They're going to run the ball with Hurts.
That's a stat right there.
And I think that's going to be the thing that decides this game is the fact that they're not sell out to stop Barkley, but that they are focused on Barkley, and you almost forget the fact that, wait a minute, the other dude there who can run the ball, the quarterback, is literally leading the freaking NFL in rushing touchdowns.
All right, we have not taken a lot of calls this week because we have been on the road. And from a technical standpoint, it's a little bit harder when we're not in studio to get your third voice on the show, which is a very valuable voice. We also don't have Donnie today because Donnie was at a beer outlet in Hampton called the Hampton Beer Outlet, very appropriately named, eating a one-pound bag of popcorn that he actually got through the entire bag over the course of 4 hours, which is very impressive.
So it wasn't like a challenge for him.
He ate 1 pound of popcorn. While he was saying that the Steelers are going to shock the world and win in Philadelphia for the first time since the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan Show. 1965.
Do you know who Ed Sullivan was, Charlie? He was not paying attention.
Ed Sullivan?
Yeah, do you know who he was?
I remember Steve Sullivan. He played for the Nashville Predators. He was a nice
Am I on the right track? Ed O'Neill played him? No.
Ed O'Neill played Ed Sullivan?
Ed O'Neill, the guy from Married with Children?
You're thinking of Al Bundy.
Yeah.
No. Ah, yes, Ed Sullivan, Al Bundy.
Sorry, I'm distracted.
Many such cases of confusing the two.
What is going to happen Sunday in Philadelphia? Do you have a feeling that the Steelers are going to finally break the curse there? Much like the Penguins had a curse in Philly for all those years. Or do you think it continues with no George Pickens in the Steelers' miserable history there? Donnie is calling for the upset. How about you? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. Tell us what needs to happen for the Steelers to upset and to upset the Eagles and win this game when we come back at 412-928-9370. First.
We know that we're not defined by the first possession of a football game or the first 15 minutes of a football game, for that matter. Probably more times than not, you're more defined by the last possession of the game or the last 15 minutes. You know, oftentimes we spend a lot of our time and energy in terms of growth and development in those areas. And, you know, we'll keep working in some of the areas that you mentioned.
Didn't have the fastball at the end of the first segment. I should have said, coming up, I'll tell you why you guys can get your errands done during the first quarter of Steelers-Eagles. And people would have said, ooh, what does he mean by that? And then I would have played that Mike Tomlin clip. Then I would have told you that another subplot to this Battle of Pennsylvania on Sunday is that both offenses generally nap through the first quarter of games. Definitely the Eagles, and to a little bit of a lesser extent, the Steelers. The Eagles have not scored on an opening drive all year. In the first quarter of the entire season, we're in week 15. They have 21 punts and 4 touchdowns. They are the lowest scoring first quarter offense in the entire NFL, and they have played 13 games and have won 9 in a row. And I was told that it's because their offense basically is like Muhammad Ali early in a fight.
They rope-a-dope?
They just kind of feel the opponent out. Or Floyd Mayweather used to do that a lot too, right? He would just kind of dance around early in fights and tire the opponent out.
Yeah, he just would bore people to death, well, that's fighter and viewer.
That's kind of a positive spin on what they're doing. Like, oh, they're just trying to get a feel for the game.
Holy
come on
crap,
now.
It took them till their eighth game to even score in the first quarter.
And the Steelers don't have an opening drive touchdown all year. That's actually one of the things that Arthur Smith has done worse than Matt Canada, if you believe it. Matt Canada's first 15 plays working a little better than Arthur Smith's first 15 plays scripted. They haven't come out and set the tone, if you will, in a game all year. They've had Chris Boswell field goals.
I think they like the idea the Steelers do of, we're going to come out, we're going to be physical, and sometimes that just means
let's
running
get
like
physical. You think they're listening to Olivia, what's her name?
Newton-John.
Yes.
Dead.
Olivia Newton-John. Okay. That just because someone's dead doesn't mean you can't listen to their music anymore.
Where would you rank physical?
There's a Bob
on
Dylan
her,
movie coming out right now. We're still listening to his music. He's been
alive.
Gone. Okay. I didn't know that.
Get out. No, you knew that. That one doesn't fool me. You
I
knew
swear
Bob
to God.
Dylan was alive.
Bob Dylan looks, you know who I found out's alive today? I almost died when I heard he was alive. Dick Jimmy, Van Dyke.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jimmy Carter.
Dick Van Dyke, 99, still doing his thing.
Jimmy Carter in hospice care for 2 years. There has to be a record for the longest time somebody has spent in hospice care, and Jimmy's got to have broken it.
The peanut farmer.
Man, you think of the regimes he's outlasted in other countries, like around the world. Unbelievable, this guy. You just completely threw me off, Bob. Olivia Newton-John. Where would you rank Let's Get Physical on her singles?
I don't know any of her other songs, Chris. I've just heard
Gotta
that one for years.
Gotta Believe We Are Magic.
Never heard it.
No?
No.
What about all the stuff she did for Grease?
Grease Lightning? Oh, those aren't, I mean, that's...
She still sang.
Yeah. I don't really think of those as her songs, though.
Do you even know where she's from, where she was from?
Australia.
Good. Okay, so you somehow know that.
Yeah. I'm just buying time here because I said this is, I thought, a huge game. Let's get some thoughts on it.
And you're vamping.
Nobody wanted to call in and give 2 cents on the game,
which
I'm fine
with. Did
we break
our listener habits because we were on the road for so long and they were just so used to us kicking it around and doing little
I said the Steelers are going to get blown out. Donnie said they're going to win, and John Gruden said they're going to have a boot put up their ass. I thought that would be enough motivation to get some Steelers
Gruden
fans.
Gruden desperately wants to get back into coaching. Just desperately. Wants his shot again.
And that's why he's now working with Barstool. He thinks this is like his Belichick route.
I think he's doing like a little bit of like image rehab. Look at me. I love football. I'm a football guy. And he's just insane about it. And he wants somebody to give him a shot.
Do you think if like Robert Morris Football said, we've got a job for you here, John, he would just take it because he wants to coach that badly?
I think it would be a pay cut from wherever they're probably getting to him at Barstool. No.
But maybe it's like Belichick where he just is so
obsessed
with coaching.
What is the lowest end job, head coaching job, John Gruden would take? I think he would take a job at like a mid-tier to bottom-tier Power Four school.
So if West Virginia had called him, he would have said, I'm game?
I even think lesser than that. So is Texas Tech, would you consider them better or worse than West Virginia?
They don't have a coaching vacancy.
No, but if they did, like, where would you consider them? Like, broadly.
They've had one like great year in my lifetime, and that was when they had Michael
Crabtree. He would go coach at Texas Tech if the job was open there. I just think the Steelers, my bottom line here is, I think they're probably going against right now, in terms of like when you take health into account, relative health of teams, they are going against top to bottom the best roster in the entire NFL. And I don't think they're going to have enough in the tank to beat them, specifically not in their building. Like, I think that this might be a close game after 15 minutes. I also could very easily conceive of the Eagles coming out like gangbusters and actually shoving the ball down their throats and going up 7-0 early. And at that point, you might as well go get your laundry done.
Russell Wilson has done a very good job of spreading the ball around, but the spreading the ball around is usually once he figures out that George Pickens is not the correct person to throw the ball to. Pickens has been the Steelers' first read on a passing play. The guy that the play is designed to go to on 75 passing plays this year. If you had to guess who is second on the team and with how many?
Targets?
So, yeah. So 75 times George Pickens has been the first read on a play. Somebody had to look at the tape of these plays and say, that's where Russell Wilson.
Okay, so this is just the first read.
Yes. 75. Who do you think second?
I think it's probably Harris.
Wrong. What's the note? How does Joe say it when something? Wrong.
Wrong. Wrong.
Okay, what do you think the number is then?
So 75 times Pickens through 14 or 13 games has been the first read.
Mm-hmm.
I think the number is like under 35.
Very good. 33 is the number. And it's Calvin Austin.
Little Calvin.
So, dude, look at that drop off.
I mean, that makes sense,
I guess.
It's a
difference of 42 plays. That's how...
Any other team have a reputational disparity between wide receiver one and everybody else, though?
No, that's why the Steelers...
Needed one.
...hunted and snooped around for one for months.
You know what's funny about Austin, very quickly? He's got four touchdown catches.
Well, you know, Chris, take your time, my friend. You don't have to go very quickly here.
No, I will go very quickly. I don't know. Whenever
you
want to
be quick, but don't hurry. That's what John Wooden said. So just...
Well, you're burning daylight here with this John Woodenism. He also told his players that they were going to work on putting on socks for 15 minutes because if they didn't and they did it wrong, they'd get blisters.
They also had like their first few practices with an invisible ball.
You know what? You got me on this here. Has anybody ever been like christened a saint of coaching in a given sport while people were more willing to ignore the real reason the guy was a great winner?
Oh, they had NIL at UCLA. Mike,
what was the guy's name?
Sam Gilbert.
Thank you. He had Sam Gilbert just throwing money at these dudes left and right, but instead we're going to deify John Wooden because he taught guys how to put on socks correctly. Anyway, the Wizard of Westwood, well, I was going to say something you would have said there, and that would have made people mad. Anyway. I again lost my train of thought.
Let's get Cam in Monroeville's thoughts. Hello, Cam.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey, man, we're good.
I just had a few thoughts about what I think the Steelers need to do to win on Sunday.
Sure, let's hear them.
I think that we need at least two turnovers at any point in the game. And then from a red zone standpoint, I just think we at least need to be above 30% scoring touchdowns in the red zone. I feel like we can't settle for Boswell's toe this time around whenever we get into the red zone.
The turnover thing is, I think, the biggest impediment to them winning because the Eagles have the same philosophy as the Steelers. We don't care if it's boring football and we're just running the ball every time. We will not throw interceptions in this game. We will not give them the ball. And also, by the way, breaking news, it's not official yet, but just from the way the conversation is going in the locker room right now.
Oh.
It looks like Elliott is going to be out for this game.
That's not
so
good.
So they lose a defensive
That's
playmaker.
A run stuffer. I thought you were going to say breaking news and reference something that looks like it's imminent and it's going to affect a different team in town.
Oh, well, you could tell me that. That's a tease for the next segment. We also go to the other side next with the sideline reporter and the self-proclaimed king of Philadelphia sports media. Are A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts going to get in a fight in this game? Is Kenny Pickett going to make a cameo? All that coming up. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia. Here's a headline.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side.
Let's get the view from the other side. I think the Steelers are going to get their asses kicked on Sunday, and I'm not even really that mad about it because it's all about Baltimore the following week and then spoiling the Chiefs' Christmas fun. Our next guest is the sideline reporter for the Eagles and is the king of Philadelphia sports media and has been for a long time. He's known for wearing mink coats on the sideline at Eagles games, from what I've heard.
You ever put one of those coats on? You're not his personally, but
no,
you ever worn one?
I've not. You?
I think my great aunt used to have like very fancy coats like that, and she would like, you got to take them to a specific place to get like cleaned and all that stuff. Like, it's a big to-do.
Well,
it's a very valuable piece of attire here.
Because our guest for the other side is a big deal, and that is Howard Eskin from WIP in Philadelphia. Hello, Howard.
Hey, hello. Well, yeah, if it's cold enough, I'll wear the mink coat. Now, if I was in Buffalo, that would be a joke. That's always cold. But Pittsburgh, I guess, kind of gets cold at times. I think Sunday, I think it might be in the 40s, even though the game starts basically, and the sun will be down before the first quarter is over. But I'll deal with it. By the way, just to let you guys know.
Yes.
I'm not only, and the king, anybody that gives themselves a nickname is fraudulent.
Agreed.
Like LaFraud James is a fraud. Fraud. He gave himself King James. Who named him the king? Pete Rose actually gave me the name, and it stuck for years and years. But I also got a doctorate in May. So I'm also a doctor, King PhD, if you want to really do the whole.
Well, congratulations the whole on all your
now,
success, Howard.
Now, Howard, hold on. I have to ask you this. If you say if you give yourself the nickname, it's no bueno. Didn't Howard Stern give himself the nickname King of All Media?
You know, it might have been in the story because he was King of All Media. I mean, I don't know that I'm King of All Media, but that's not why he named me.
No, you are the King of Philadelphia Media.
Yeah, that,
media.
That one counts.
Sports
Pony talk. Gave it to you.
Hey, listen, I've done 8,000 sports talk shows in my career, which I think is more than anybody else in the country. So whatever. I mean, I walk in the locker room one day, and there was a story that somebody did about me on TV before I went to TV, and he said he's the king of sports talkers. I walked right in the locker room. It didn't take 10 seconds, and Pete Rose said, the king.
Yeah.
You're the king. And then it stuck. But
kind of a flex.
Whatever.
Humble
just,
brag on your
hey,
part.
Listen, I just do what I do. If I wear a mink coat, it's got to be cold enough. If I do things,
41 degrees on Sunday. Is that mink coat weather for you, Howard?
Nah, no? It's got to be under 40.
Okay,
it's got to be under 40. I have a standard.
I'm going to start you with this one. The feeling on Kenny Pickett from the Eagles' perspective, is it we just have a boilerplate backup, or do the Eagles actually think they have a future starting quarterback in waiting, and he's just blocked by Jalen Hurts?
Well, I'll tell you what I see, and nobody at the Eagles is ever going to say they think he's the future quarterback of the Eagles. But, I mean, I see Kenny Pickett. I like their third-string quarterback better than Kenny Pickett.
Oof.
And it's Tanner McKee, who came out of Stanford.
Yeah,
he doesn't move as well, but he's got a stronger arm. He makes really good reads. I'm watching him in practice.
Definitely bigger hands.
Anything else. Yeah, well, yeah, bigger hands.
We've got people working in our promotions department here, Howard, who, by fact, we measured hands here once when Kenny was here.
A nice young lady has bigger hands than him. Documented.
Yeah, he's a backup quarterback, and he's probably a good backup quarterback, but you're not going to be able to be successful if he has to play more than two or three games, if that's the case, if your quarterback gets hurt. But nice enough guy. He's a backup quarterback.
Is he going to have to play in this game when A.J. Brown strangles Jalen Hurts mid-game? Is that something likely to happen?
Okay, you guys are – it's out of control here in Philadelphia. And then
Well, you can blame your son for that. He's the one that goaded Brandon Graham into saying everything about it, Howard.
Well, I was there. I was part of the show, too. And we didn't goat him into – we both do the show. And we didn't goat him into doing anything. He was prepared to say what he said, and then he kind of walked it back the next day. But the reality is A.J. Brown opened it up, said he opened it up because he wanted to get it out there, regardless of the passing.
Oh, we lost him. Well, we were just finally getting somewhere with that, Charlie. Charlie, want to try to call him back, or do you think he hung up on us because he didn't like the fact that I blamed him for the incendiary quote that happened?
He's still on the line, so I'll just give him a call back.
All right, thank you. Maybe he muted himself. He's an older man. Sometimes you hit the mute button with your whiskers of your beard or something, and you don't know it.
Man, you're in full goading mode here.
Oh.
An older man.
He is. He's like in his 60s.
That's old now?
He probably wore a mink coat in 1991 when the Steelers lost to the Eagles in Philadelphia. Do you know who the starting quarterback was that day?
For the Steelers?
For the Eagles.
Wouldn't have been Randall.
No. He was hurt.
Who the hell would have been backing him up?
It's a crazy one.
Is it like where Jeff Fiegels, the punter, was somehow?
No, it was a quarterback. Do you know who started for the Steelers that day?
I would assume Bubby.
He did.
Who would Bubby have lost to? How about Billy Joe Hobert?
No, I'll give you a hint. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
But he didn't win it, obviously, with the Eagles.
He did not. Because the Eagles didn't win one until Nick Foles, right. So I don't think he was a backup in 91 and then again in 2017.
I can vamp here and try to guess it while we're trying to get Howard back on the phone, on the line here.
Jim McMahon.
No.
Yep. Jim McMahon was the starting
quarterback.
He's
one of those dudes I just completely memory.
Did we just get the middle finger from Howie? Here, Charlie? Or is he back?
Okay. We're working on it. He might be going through a dead zone here. What was he? I think he was about to say A.J. Brown kind of brought this on himself?
I have no idea what he was about to say, but I thought it was going to get pretty juicy there.
He said A.J. Brown opened this thing up. I thought at first he was going to say we were being ridiculous about it, but I don't think that's the direction he's headed.
I also thought we were going to get maybe some juicy stuff on Pickett. We actually did. He said the guy's not even their best
That was a preseason
he's
story.
He's not even the second best quarterback on the team.
That was a preseason story. People were saying that the hardcore 700-level style Eagles fans...
Is that how big the stadium is there?
Well, that was the old thing at the Vet, the 700 level.
You ever go to a game at the Vet?
No. I've never been to a game.
It's like taking your life into your own hands.
I've never been to a game at Citizens Bank. I've never been to a game at Lincoln Financial or whatever it's called. I've only been to a game at whatever they're calling the Flyers Arena now, which I actually had the rare good experience of. I sat behind a Philly fan and his kid, and the guy was like, we don't like you because you have a Talbot jersey on, but we're nice people.
Charlie, you're good, brother. We can call it a day with Mr. Eskin. We tried. You're good. We tried to get the other side, and we got Pickett, and we were about to get maybe an explosive take.
Is that maybe something where you would go to yourself, Pony, and look in the mirror and say, should I have, knowing that some things can happen with phones, should I have asked about something other than Kenny Pickett to start with?
No. No, I don't conduct every interview thinking that the phone's going to drop. You can't do that.
But would Pickett maybe have been better suited for...
Howard Eskin back with us from WIP, the Eagles sideline reporter.
I'm telling you, I lose the call when I kind of tell you what a fraud Russell Wilson is. I mean, that's why I think...
You've been big on frauds this segment, Howard. First, you started with LeBron. Now you're going in on our quarterback, who's never lost in Philly.
Red zone, Seattle won with defense. Bill Belichick would not have won that Super Bowl if Russell Wilson made the right read. First of all, Pete Carroll should have run the ball, but that's another story.
Howard, I hate to break it to you, but our quarterback's playing better than yours right now, and it's not even close.
I don't care about numbers. I don't care.
Well, I'm asking you to use your eyes. You're right on the sideline. You're really going to come on the air here and say that Jalen Hurts is playing better than Russell Wilson?
I think Jalen Hurts is 45-19 since he started at quarterback. Russell Wilson is lucky to have found a job. And I'm going
to Jalen Hurts is lucky that the best running back in the NFL lines up next to him or behind him on every play.
All right. Can I tell you a background story of why? First of all, Russell Wilson had an office in Denver. That's a disgrace. And what does that say to your teammates? You got an office. Who the hell are you? But one, I'll never forget this. They were in Philadelphia for a playoff game years ago. He was with Seattle. And after
yes,
the
and
game,
he won.
He won the game. After the game, he didn't like the food on the plane, so he held up the plane, 6-hour flight back to Seattle. He held up the plane until they got the food that he liked on the plane. Are you kidding me?
What were they providing on the plane, chicken and pizza?
I don't even care what they were providing. You get back to Seattle, it's not fair to the rest of the teammates. They were eating the food.
What was the A.J. Brown stuff we were about to get into? Because we never heard that.
Yeah,
it cut out right before the A.J. Brown stuff.
Were you going to poo-poo it, or you going to make it a big deal, Howard? We didn't catch that.
No, A.J. Brown kind of opened it up and said it was the passing game. Mm-hmm. So, he could have meant Jalen Hurts, and Jalen didn't see him. At times he was open. He could have meant other things. But the passing game certainly has to be more effective, especially when a team, and there's going to be a team that kind of shuts down Saquon Barkley more than teams have shut him down. A.J. Brown, and he spoke, what's today, Friday? He spoke on Wednesday. He got it, cleared the air. I'm good. Jalen and I are good. They're strangling Jalen. It's all good. You have to win games. In Philadelphia, there's drama, and then it creates more drama around the country. And I get it. But I think the Eagles, because this got their attention, I do think they're going to beat the Steelers.
So we all agree on that. But if the Steelers were to win the game, how do you think they do it, Howard?
And that's what a hypothetical question. How are they going to do it? Luck. But I think turnovers. Turnovers win this game. And I guarantee you, it's a guarantee, the Eagles will get at least one turnover out of Russell Wilson. Now, turnovers, it's not.
Howard, do you have a charity that you like?
Yeah, I support SBCAs. I support Eagles Autism, which I've raised about $700,000 for.
How about this? I'll make a $500 bet with you right now that it won't happen. And if I'm wrong, I'll make that he won't turn the ball over.
$500 bet to the charity of our choice.
Yeah, I'll do that right now.
Okay, that Russell Wilson will not throw at least one interception.
Yes.
Okay, you're on.
Let's go.
You're on.
I'll be sending you my information on the charity I like here, Howard, and we'll make sure we get that to people here for the Christmas
holiday.
Yeah,
I'll send you mine, too. I mean, this is like stealing money. And I should be taken out in handcuffs for even allowing
which a lot of Eagles fans do when it's game day. Howard, thank you so much. We'll talk again soon.
Get out of here.
See ya.
Guys.
Yeah, you got a jail in your stadium. At least you used to. Good guy. You like my chances there with that bet?
No, actually.
You think Russ is going to throw an interception?
I think he might throw one, yeah. I like their defensive backfield.
Because I was going to say, would you like to get on board with me and you cover 250 and I'll do 250?
No, because I already am going to owe $1,000 to a charity of your choice because I got in on a very, very bad side of a Penguins.
You're not buying the Penguins comeback here?
No.
Did that get a little too confrontational, Charlie? You're the man that's navigating this. What did you make of it?
I mean,
I felt like I did the worst job of anybody in that interview. I should have been cutting them off more and goofing around more.
Guy kind of acted like a dink, and I don't even think the Steelers are going to win the game, and I felt like I had to defend our honor
in that
interview.
You were getting after it.
Yeah, I mean,
you guys were getting after it. You were providing
Russell Wilson the other day.
You were providing
his best
big entertainment
here.
For the masses.
I got to stick up for my guy.
There were two entertaining people in that interview, and I wasn't one of them,
Oh,
Pony.
My God. Here
the
comes self-deprecating Malzy.
It's just the truth, Pony.
Howard was a nice man. He said he never had a bad day in his life.
I like that he just said they should take me out in cuffs.
Yeah, he's about to owe me $500.
He's owing the charity of your choice.
Something tells me he's going to block my number between now and Sunday night.
You should tell him the charity of your choice is the Human Fund. Money for people.
Here is Sweet Feet on the Fan. Hello, Sweet Feet.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Did you think that guy in Philly was a jerk?
Yeah, he was a little squirrely. He's a little squirrely, but
he's made millions of dollars to be that way, so you know.
So his take was that Russell Wilson was a bad guy because he held up a plane for food? Come on now.
They must have had some bad food.
I agree.
I told him chicken and pizza. That's the big Philadelphia staple.
It is Philly.
Right. The city of no brotherly love, right?
What do you got for us on this one, Sweet?
Yeah,
what
how
do
you
think's going down here, brother?
We both are predicting a bloodbath, unfortunately.
Well, it just depends on which team comes out. Like, they come out with the same similar game plan that they had against Cincinnati, where they score, they dump the ball. They put pressure on the defense, and they're going to definitely have to come out and play some defense, start, shut down the run, and make Jalen Hurts beat them. I don't want Saquon Barkley to have the ball, but I would rather see Jalen Hurts force him into some interceptions. And
all right, Sweet Feet. So you're saying that's what they need to do. Are you calling for—
what are
for
they going to do, Sweet
the
Feet?
The last time they played Saquon Barkley, Sweet Feet, Ben Roethlisberger had more rushing yards in that game than Barkley. It is a strange but true stat. Are you calling for the Steelers to hold the best running back in football in check on Sunday afternoon?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that'll be one aspect that they will accomplish.
And so are you calling a Steelers upset win in Philly for the first time since before Sweet Feet was born?
Definitely. Steelers upset win in Philly, and they bring back the real cheesesteak.
Ooh, the real cheesesteak. What makes a real cheesesteak, Mulsey? You have to have cheese whiz on it, right?
And not it's Wit Whiz or—
yeah, so what would you consider an authentic cheesesteak? You live in the state right next door to it, Charlie.
No,
do you need cheese whiz on it?
I can tell you this. Geno's and Pat's, though, are like the tourist trap cheesesteaks. If you're a real one, you go to like John's Roast Pork in South Philly or something like—
would you recommend Steelers fans going to those places in Steelers garb, or are they going to get their food spit on?
I don't know. No, those places aren't going to spit on your food, but they might not exactly be too cheery about serving you.
Find a hole in the wall, you'll find a better—
John's Roast Pork is legit. I mean, you know what
a hole in the walls are hard to find, bro.
You know how I am about melted cheese? John's Roast Pork in South Philly is legit. Like, I ate the cheese, so I ate it so fast because it was so good that I don't even think the cheese had time to melt fully.
Did it give you the runs?
No, it was phenomenal, man. It's like literally a top 10 sandwich I have ever consumed in my entire life.
Here's Mr. Science on the air. Hello, Science.
Science!
Yes, Science. Hey, just as a matter of qualification, I did not make up that nickname. It was given to me. So,
well, I don't really— you know what? I generally agree with that, but I didn't want to— I don't know. Howard was getting on my nerves there, so I didn't even want to—
well, he just walked right through the King of All Media thing. Howard Stern absolutely gave himself the nickname King of All Media, and people have gone with it.
Anyways, sorry to put you through that.
That's okay. That's not a problem.
What do you got for us, Mr. Science? Give us a scientific breakdown Sunday.
Science!
I actually took a day off of science today, but I'll tell you what I feel. Saquon Barkley, I think, is going to rip us apart. I really do. I'm with you guys. That guy's been a beast since he came to Philadelphia. He's, you know, his career has been resurgent from, you know, his switch out of New York, and I don't think we're going to stop him. However, I do think—
now, that technically counts as your hypothesis for this game, correct?
Yes, that's correct. So now we have to
run several experiments and have a control group and everything else.
Now, is Mr. Science making these claims about Saquon Barkley as a Penn State fan who happens to live in Pittsburgh, who remembers his great days in state college, or is this an objective Mr. Science take?
No, this is objective. I went to Pitt. Okay, so
then that really means something, the fact that you're willing to compliment a former Nittany Lion.
Mr. Science, I just feel compelled to tell you right now that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell since we have you on the line.
Yes, indeed. You are correct. That is correct.
What do you make of my take that I'm not sure if atoms actually exist?
That one, I have to say there's a lot of evidence that refutes that.
You can say you can say more honestly to Pony your real thoughts, which are that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard a person say.
Yes.
Poor guy just wanted to get his take out there, and he's getting hit with parts of the cell. You know why Saquon Barkley is so much better this year than he was with the Giants?
Because he has massive quads.
Jordan Mailata, Landon Dickerson, Cam Juergens, Mekhi Becton, and Lane Johnson.
Juergens.
Like the hand cream.
Mm-hmm. Hand lotion.
There was an actor named Kurt Juergens who was in a Bond movie as the bad guy.
Can you say lube?
Well, lube and hand lotion are two different things.
I think Juergens is more in the lube category.
No, it's hand lotion, Pony.
I bet if we put up a Twitter poll, Juergens, lube or lotion, people would say lube.
No, you're being deliberately dumb about this.
No, I'm not.
You know people would say lotion because that's what it is.
Okay. What was the last thing you were going to say there, Chris?
He's just got a way better offensive line.
Lane Johnson is maybe the greatest right tackle of all
time.
Landon
Dickerson's a monster. Mekhi Becton has reinvented himself with Philly. Mailata's pretty good. Like, you know, Juergens is the one dude people don't even know that much about, but that's why he's so good. He's running behind an absurd offensive line.
412-928-9370. What is going to happen in Philly? Is it going to be more of the same? 10 straight losses there. Will the Steelers end the drought, or do you think we're going to see a massacre? An Eagles blowout. 412-928-9370. More of your calls coming up on that next plus. Mike Tomlin bitching about the schedule on McAfee's show, which leads to a question about Sunday's game. Quick timeout, then a long commercial-free segment. I'd like to tell you guys first about the Wet Go Car Wash. And I was just there 2 days ago on a Wednesday, a hump day. Driving through there, Amanda said, let me take Stella to my... Actually, no, Stella didn't have to go. The nanny was there. So I had a little bit of a freed-up morning. Stopped at Wet Go, and car looking clean. You know, there's a lot of salt out there now on the road with snow and ice and whatever else. Easy for the car to get dirty. One day it looks clean, the next day it's not. And that's why it's so good to have an unlimited pass, because you can go every day. You can go more than once a day, and you don't get charged any extra. Go a ton. Go a lot. They don't charge you more and say, wait a minute, you're taking advantage of us. You went 20 times in December. Doesn't work that way. Makes a great Christmas present. You make it a stocking stuffer. You know why it's good? Because you know people are going to use it. So many Christmas presents get repurposed, re-gifted, or they just never get used. You know this will. GetGoCafe.com/unlimited is where you sign up. And give the gift of unlimited car washes with the Wet Go Car Wash.